By Saturday, Exxon executives estimated that 240,000 barrels of crude had poured into Prince William Sound, more than had ever been dumped into American waters at one time. Television camera crews arrived in Valdez by the scores and beamed out images of saturated birds and blackened sea otters. The immediate damage to wildlife caused by a spill arises from direct contact with the oil while it is exposed on the water or the shore. A marine mammal, such as an otter, will lose vital insulation on the contaminated section of its fur, preen itself for relief, ingest the petroleum, and soon die. Nearly 1,000 sea otter carcasses appeared in Prince William Sound after the spill. Federal scientists never established an exact count of the total dead, but they estimated that about 2,800 sea otters perished. With their furry faces and pleading black eyes, the otters became the symbols of a broader wildlife massacre. Scientists later estimated that about 300 harbor seals, 250 bald eagles, 22 killer whales, 250,000 seabirds, and billions of salmon and herring eggs were destroyed by the initial exposure to Exxon Valdez oil. On Saturday afternoon, March 25th, Don Cornett, Exxon's director of its office in Anchorage, a silver-haired veteran of the corporation, telephoned George Nelson, one of his counterparts at the Pipeline Consortium. Cornett would play a leading role in representing Exxon before the media and the public in the days and years ahead. His past assignments had included a stint as an environmental manager in the corporation's marine department. He had experience with oil spills. He flew by chartered helicopter to Valdez and hit the telephones. He would later reflect that because of the chaotic flow of information, it was hard to always make the right calls. The emotions surrounding the damage to the mammals and the birds were totally understandable and totally unmanageable. That Saturday, because he was calling from an emergency response center, his telephone line was recorded. "Are you getting a lot of press contacts into your office?" Nelson asked him. "Jesus Christ, I can't get off the telephone." "I thought you probably were, but many, many hundreds of them. How many of them are down in Valdez? A whole bunch, aren't there?" Yeah, well, they're taking some in Houston, some in New York, and I'm taking some here. They're getting prank calls." "They're getting what?" "Prank calls."
"Like what?"
"You dirty bastard." "We're getting those over here, too," Cornett said.
"Now, this is going to be a public relations nightmare."
"Nightmare," Cornett agreed.
"Nightmare, to say the least, yes, to say the very least.
Do you know how I feel?"
"How?"
"Do you remember when Patton looked out over the battlefield and said, 'God help me, I do love it so'? When they were going to invade Europe, he said, 'God wouldn't let this happen and not make me be in on it.' That's the way I feel."
Lee R. Raymond, the president of Exxon Corporation, and then its number two executive, heard about the grounding of the Exxon Valdez while on company business in Jacksonville, Florida. Raymond had helped to design the ambitious reorganization plan that had eliminated more than 40% of the corporation's employees in the years before the wreck. He was in Jacksonville because Lawrence Rawl had sent him there to scout real estate. As part of their campaign to remake Exxon, Rawl and Raymond had decided to move the company's head office out of Manhattan. Jacksonville was a possible destination. As he absorbed the news from Alaska, Raymond said later, he was chagrined, horrified, and to an extent devastated. His wife, Charlene, told him, "It's the first time I have ever been embarrassed that we work for Exxon." Raymond was ill with a severe spring cold and could not fly for a few days on doctor's orders. Pent up in Jacksonville, restless, he began to assess the cause of the accident and to coordinate Exxon's response. Raymond had grown up in Watertown, South Dakota. His father was a railroad engineer who drove trains between Watertown and Aberdeen. In high school, the younger Raymond decided to study chemistry, particularly its mathematical aspects. He attended the University of Wisconsin as an undergraduate, and ultimately earned a doctoral degree in chemical engineering at the University of Minnesota as a National Science Foundation Fellow and on other scholarships. He took his first job at Exxon and rose rapidly through the ranks. He could mist up when speaking about his father or the people who worked for him at Exxon. Normally, however, he did not come across as a sentimental man, and could be a blunt and demanding manager. At the time of the spill, he was 50 years old, and had worked at Exxon for 25 years. In time, Raymond would draw a number of conclusions about the Exxon Valdez. One of his earliest assessments was that environmentalists and confused politicians in Alaska, particularly Alaska's Governor Cooper, had prevented Exxon from reducing the effects of the disaster by refusing to allow the company to spray chemical dispersants on the oil slick during the first days after the accident, as provided for in a spill response plan previously filed by Exxon with the state. Chemical dispersants do not eliminate oil, but if applied correctly in favorable conditions, they can break up concentrations and drive oil droplets beneath the surface. That can reduce the impact on birds and marine mammals that feed or travel at the surface. Chemically dispersed oil may also be less likely to wash up on beaches in dangerous concentrations. Oil driven beneath the surface might harm fish or other subsurface life, however, and fisheries were the most important source of income and employment in Prince William Sound. Also, several factors can limit the effectiveness of dispersants. The chemicals are less effective in cold waters than in warmer waters. They are typically released by aerial spraying. If the seas below are calm, as they were in Prince William Sound during the first days after the Exxon Valdez gashed itself on Bligh Reef, the chemicals may not churn and mix adequately. If the particular composition of spilled oil or the chemistry of the water is unknown, then the impact of dispersants may also be uncertain.